The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Monday, July 8th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. And man, let me tell you, it feels good to be back in the studio. Feels like it's just been a crazy couple of weeks, and it feels that way because it has been that way. It's been a wild ride. Let me tell you what, with a bachelor trip that I went on, and then the 4th of July holiday, and just everything that's been going on, it just seems like we haven't been in here a whole lot. But we are here, we are back, and man, I am excited for today. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend, a wonderful 4th of July. I know I personally did. Got to go and work a little bit, got to work family business, selling fireworks, and got to do that whole thing. I got to see some family and friends, and still got a friend Graham in town until tomorrow. But yeah, I had a great weekend and a great holiday, so I hope you all did as well. Stayed safe, stayed hydrated, all that good stuff. And excited to get into the show today because there's so much to go over and really recap from our last show, which was, what, Tuesday of last week? So we're almost a week out from our last show. And so, lots to get to today, lots to get through this week, because SEC Media Days starts a week from today. Yeah, we'll be in Dallas, Texas a week from today, live here on ESPN Radio. Really excited for that as well. But we're going to get into all that as we go. I'm joined in the studio, as I am every Monday, Uncle T-Bone, your favorite uncle, back with me on ESPN 106.7. Hey, man, it's great to have you back.
Good to be back, Jacob. Good to be back, Radio Land. Give us a ring. The phones are back,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes, they are.
334-321-1390. You can text us at the text hotline, 334-784-1067. I mean, it feels like it's been forever since I have said the following. But, Jacob, I mean, this is the show that tells it like it is.
And holds nothing back, which we fully plan on doing once again today. As you said, that is a big announcement. Phone lines are back and fixed and back to normal. All right, so if you've been with us for the last, it's been about a month and a half or so. I know a lot of you are with us just about every day, and we always appreciate that. But our phone lines have been in recovery mode since we got struck by lightning months ago, and they are back, so they're open. Multiple people can call in. We're going to get you on the air. We haven't heard from a lot of you in a while just because of that, and we got the text box set up, and that's still open, as he said, 334-784-1067. But you can call in to get your thoughts out over the air at the old same number, 334-321-1390. We are 54 days away from the start of Auburn football, which is wild to think. The countdown was to 100. Now it's to 50. Then it's to SEC Media Days. And we all know what happens after SEC Media Days. Talking season is put to bed, and we start to really get into previewing the upcoming 2024 season. And, you know, for guys like you and me and for everybody that's listening right now, Uncle T-Bone, this is when you start to feel it a little bit. Fourth of July is gone. The holiday is over. We're back to a normal week on the air. And SEC Media Days is right around the corner. That's when everybody really starts getting fired up. And after SEC Media Days, you really start to count down the days on on how long it's going to be from week zero, then the opening weekend, and then before you know it, we're all off and running for college football.
Yeah, I liked how the 4th of July fell on a Thursday. You know, everyone celebrated our nation's birthday on Thursday and really into Friday, probably partied hardy and were ready to take a little break over the weekend, which I was. And that's when I began my deep dive into the 2024 college football season this past weekend. As far as I'm concerned, football season is here. Yeah, there's some events going on in sports right now. Wimbledon's always fun to watch. They're kind of getting down into the nitty-gritty, into the weekend where the finals will occur. Huge upset today. American Taylor Fritz, the 14th seed, takes down the German Alexander Zverev, who is the number 4 seed. Got down two sets and came back on the grass. A lot of good tennis being played. You know, the British Open and golf will be here shortly, which is really going to be about it for the majors this year. We do have the Olympics coming up. But, you know, other than that, and your regular old grind of the dog days of summer with the boys of summer and professional baseball, it's preseason college football time as far as I'm concerned. Look, the season starts just about as early as ever, August 20th. I mean, you know, with the trip over there across the pond with Florida State and with Georgia Tech opening up play on ESPN. So, I mean, it'll be here before we know it. And you can go on and meander over to my website at RadioFreeAuburn.com. I drop my Uncle T-Bone top 20. I don't do 25. I only do 20, Jacob. Preseason poll. That's not how I think everyone will finish, but that's how I got them going into the season.
Sure.
And I'm ready to talk some ball.
I love it, man. I love it. And we're excited to get into all of this because, again, it just seems like it's been so long since we've had a normal week of sports talk radio and so many things to get into. Jacob Hillman's going to join us later on today. Coming up an hour or two, we're going to get his thoughts on everything going on around Auburn Athletics. And as I mentioned last Tuesday when we went off the air, when I went off the air, 3 o'clock today. 3 o'clock today, coming up in less than an hour, we have a massive announcement. Huge announcement.
Huge.
Very excited for this. It's good news, I promise. It is good news. Nobody's going anywhere. Nobody's leaving. Ain't nothing like that, okay? It's great news, and for me personally, it's a really big deal. And so be sure if you're driving around, you're in the office, in the garage, I don't care where you are, drop everything you're doing, and be sure you're right here with us on ESPN 106.7 and ESPNAU.com, because 3 o'clock, we have a big announcement. Steve Witten, Auburn Network GM, is going to join us, so very excited to have that coming up in just under an hour. Speaking of SEC Media Days, Uncle T-Bone, I've been waiting on this, and I figured it was going to drop today. And it did.
Yeah,
we officially know. Yes, finally. I think the 4th of July holiday kind of threw this timing off a little bit. But we know the three players that will now be joining head coach Hugh Freeze next week in Dallas, Texas at SEC Media Days. And one of them, we predicted correctly. Another one's a little bit of a wild card. And then the other one, we talked about this. So we had discussions about this on whether this young man would be representing Auburn at SEC Media Days. And I think it really just gives us an insight on what this season could look like and who your starting quarterback is going to be. The three representatives for Auburn coming up next week in Dallas, Texas. Linebacker Eugene Asante, a guy that everybody is familiar with, somebody that is very well-spoken, very outspoken about Auburn, has shown and proven his love, his hard work, his dedication, a guy that we are familiar with right here on ESPN because he joined us all last season for Tiger Takes and really enjoyed that in my conversations with him every week. So great choice for Auburn to be taken to Dallas next
Agreed.
Week. Defensive end Keldrick Falk, he will be joining Hugh Freeze and Auburn in Dallas next week. I think that's interesting. That's not one that I thought would make the cut. Nothing against him. It's just nothing. It's not a guy that I thought would be near the top of the list, but I do like it. I think it's very interesting.
Well, I think it's very telling, you know, to have a sophomore heading out, a true sophomore.
Sure.
Starting on your defensive line at defensive end. Obviously stepping up to become a leader on the defensive line if he's going to be allowed to go out to SEC Media Days as a sophomore and address the media. It also should be a key indicator of how far he's come. Five-star talent that Auburn flipped on signing day in Hugh Freeze's first recruiting class over Florida State. It was a big, big win and one that was much needed, not just for that coaching staff, just getting started in recruiting, but for Auburn itself. Put a little wind in everybody's sails. And you've got a young man and a young talent heading out to SEC Media Days. This might be a year where he really blows up.
I'm telling you, and he's a guy that is going to be one of the leaders on the defensive side of the football, especially up front. And for Auburn to be taking two defensive players, I think is fascinating too, because you know how good Eugene Asante is. I mean, he's going to be pushing for All-SEC, possible All-American in terms of linebacker in the world of college football.
Well, I'll say this. In a lot of the preseason stuff, I don't think he's quite getting the respect.
I agree.
That he deserves. He should easily be second team All-SEC heading into the season, pushing for first team if he has another good year, which we all anticipate that he will by the end of the season. You know, you key him up with a healthy Austin Keys in the inside, and then all the other talent that has stayed on the roster, the Peyton Woodyards of the world that are beginning to come around finally, plus all the talent that Auburn brought in at linebacker. Have we had this solid of a linebacker core in 10 years?
It's been a long time.
I'm serious. There's actual depth there and depth that can step in and play, and young players that are five stars, four stars, five stars. You know, they're going to not only be playing linebacker, they're also going to be playing on special teams a lot, too. It's just going to make this roster so much better than it's been defensively in years.
Well, we're going into a season with Auburn's linebacker room where, and I've had this conversation before, we're going into the year where we're not crossing our fingers and praying to the Lord above that somebody doesn't get hurt. We don't want anybody to get hurt, but in years past, it was, man, if anybody gets hurt, if anybody catches the flu, Auburn's linebacker's room was done for.
I mean, you can go back to when Auburn won the national title in 2010, and the two linebackers, including Craig Stevens that was on that team, and I forgot the other kid that played, is still playing in the NFL. And that was it. They played like every snap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they got hurt, you're going to have to go into a whole different defensive set.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is what we've been preaching for some time, both you and I and people. And I believe Auburn fans are really kind of beginning to get it. You know, fans are going to be fans, and I've got some pushback on my top 20 because I didn't have Auburn in my top 20, and locally people are like, what are you doing, Uncle T? But folks just are beginning to realize how bad it was over the last 4 years and what it's taking to rebuild this entire program, beginning with the recruiting infrastructure. And linebacker is critical. Nick Saban has kicked our butt since 07, especially in-state recruiting linebackers. He's dominated Auburn, and those days are over. Look at who's on the roster right now.
Auburn's got some of the best linebackers in the SEC, and they have some of the best on their roster that they've had in, over a decade, I think, in terms of a linebacker room. And one of those guys is Eugene Asante. He will be representing Auburn, one of the three representing Auburn in Dallas next week for SEC Media Days, along with defensive end Keldrick Falk. And then the one that we had a big question mark about, Uncle T. We were wondering whether Hugh Freeze would make this decision. Would he take the risk, and would he really make the bold statement of taking a quarterback to SEC Media Days? Because, look, there's a lot of names that Hugh Freeze could take here. Rivaldo Fairweather, Jarquez Hunter. Like, there's a lot of guys on the offensive
Cam
side.
Coleman.
Yeah, take a star-studded freshman if you want to. It's not a popular thing, but it happens. Taking a big high-level.
I bet he goes next year.
Well, probably. Taking a high-level offensive player. And Hugh Freeze decides to take his, what we assume, is going to be his starting quarterback in Peyton Thorne. Peyton Thorne will be the third member that will be leading Auburn to SEC Media Days in Dallas next year. So quarterback Peyton Thorne, linebacker Eugene Asante, and defensive end Keldrick Falk. I don't know if I'm surprised. I am surprised. I'll be honest. I'm surprised that Hugh Freeze decided here on July 8th, right, because every team just announced from the SEC which players would be attending next week, and we could talk about the other players that will be there from the SEC later. But I'm surprised that Hugh Freeze went ahead and said, okay, Peyton, you're my guy, because that's what this means. That's what this means, is you are my starting quarterback, because you don't take him in any quarterback around this league or any conference that has media days. You don't take a quarterback if you don't plan on him being the starter. Now, it's not surprising that Peyton Thorne is the starter, because he was the starter last year, and I think he's still the best one in the room. But for that to be settled right here, right now, on July 8th, I am a little surprised, I'll be honest.
Yeah, over the weekend, there were several articles before this news dropped that Peyton Thorne would be going and repping Auburn at SEC Media Days. I'd found one on Auburn Wire. This is through Yahoo Sports. Headline freezes, optimism increasing for Peyton Thorne's upcoming season. I'm going to just go ahead and tell you that I'm not surprised that Peyton Thorne's going. Hugh Freeze has made it very clear that Peyton Thorne is going to be the starting quarterback this season. And he made it very clear months ago when we didn't go into the portal and drop $1 million or $1.5 million to go and fight for somebody like Cam Ward out of Washington State who ended up at Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Freeze believes in Thorne. You know, they have put the weapons around Thorne this season to be not just better than last year, but much better and explosive. It wasn't all on Thorne last year. There were, I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum, Jacob. I mean, what was the over-under probably on dropped very catchable balls last year?
40%.
I said 50 at least.
Yeah, I'd put it on about 40% of his passes.
And the offensive line's improved. The running back core is solid. There's a couple of extra weapons at tight end to go along with Fairweather. Fairweather's going to explode this year just because teams aren't going to be able to target him as Auburn's most consistent offensive pass-catching weapon last year because of all the talent now at wide receiver, mm-hmm. including the freshmen that are coming in and including the guys in the portal. I like it. I think Freeze is saying, Auburn fan, get behind your quarterback. This is your leader on offense. Oftentimes a safe play in those circumstances to go with like some senior offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
He's not only telling Auburn fans, this is my guy and you better support him. He's telling Peyton Thorne once and for all, you're my guy. Let's rock and roll.
Which, if you're Peyton Thorne, that has to make you feel good, right? That's got to give you confidence boost because not only are you guy, you're going to represent Auburn. You are going to represent your entire team, your program at SEC Media Days. Because, look, who gets all the glory? The quarterback does. Not just at SEC Media Days. I'm talking just in general. The quarterback, and Hugh Freeze, I think, says this, and so many coaches have in their time, quarterbacks get too much blame, and they get too much fame, right? They get too much glory, and they get too much of the badgering, right? That's just how it works. But when somebody like a Peyton Thorne, the starting quarterback of an SEC team, walks in the room, you take notice. And you feel, I guess the media feels, and they'll feel this way next week, I promise, they can ask him anything. And I promise they are going to ask Peyton Thorne about how last year ended. Because that's what everybody wants to know. That's what everybody wants to hear in terms of how you're going to make it better. How are you going to overcome a loss to New Mexico State? How are you going to overcome a heartbreaking loss in the Iron Bowl? How are you going to overcome an embarrassing loss in the bowl game to Maryland, right? We believe that that Auburn can do that. We believe that Peyton Thorne has what it takes, I think. But there are a lot of fans that don't. There's a lot of media that doesn't in this town and around this state and around the SEC. And so I believe that next week at SEC Media Days, Peyton Thorne will be very well prepared. He will say the right things, and I think he's going to be fine because that's a part of it we don't always talk about. This is a massive media event. This is a huge day where you're asked hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of questions, and you have to answer them the right way because it goes back to the conversation that we'll have later on this week. How can you win media days? Because you don't want to be on the wrong side of it because you'll be talked about until the season starts. And that's just how it goes. But it's exciting to hear that Auburn will be taking Peyton Thorne as the quarterback, linebacker Eugene Asante, and defensive end Keldrick Falk. They will be joining Hugh Freeze, hopping on a plane and flying to Dallas next week to represent Auburn at SEC Media Days. Lots more to get to on that. Plus, we got to get to best and worst from the weekend and a whole lot more. Phone lines are open. Give us a call. We want to hear your reactions to all of this. 334-321-1390. Back after this here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
All right, back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Appreciate you being with us on this Monday afternoon. Man, we got phone lines are blowing up. We got all sorts of things that we're talking about on the show today. Again, phone lines are back. They are open, and they are going wild. 334-321-1390. And we will get to the phone lines as we are coming back from break. Again, we've been talking SEC Media Days and the fact that Auburn has announced the SEC has announced all of the player attendees that are going to be in Dallas next week. And so, been talking a lot about that. I assume that's what people want to talk about as well. Let's get to the phone lines, and we'll start with Terry. You're on the line. Good to hear from you, man.
Hey, Jack. How's it going, man? You and Steve, how y'all doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Fantastic. Has Peyton Thorne got the most pressure on him than any other player out there because Auburn has given him all the tools he needs? Receiver, offensive line, he's always had it at running back. We know that. But do they find out somebody else can catch the ball besides Rivaldo Fairweather?
Do you mean the most pressure?
Goes 9 of 16 against somebody in the first four games with no touchdowns and interception. Put him on the bench. Get Hank Brown in there.
Are you talking about the most pressure at Auburn or like in the league or
period.
What? You said in
period.
Like in all of college football?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. What do you think, Jacob?
I mean,
that's a lot of pressure.
That's
man.
A lot of pressure for sure. So you're saying you think Peyton repeat what you said again, Terry?
I think they've given him the necessary tools on the offensive line, certainly a receiver. We've talked ad nauseum about that. He's always had a running back. He's got the most pressure on him to perform. He can't go 9 of 17 and throw an interception. He just can't do it. Auburn can't go 8 or 9 wins. They have no possibility at all of doing that if he does that again. And I think he'll freeze hard to play, you know, Bassmaster tournament and put a hook and just get him out of there.
I could make the argument, and I could get behind the argument, that Peyton Thorne as a starting quarterback may have some of the most pressure in the SEC. College football, I think, is a lot just because in terms of Auburn's expectations this year, I mean, realistically, it's not a playoff. It's not winning the SEC. It's to get 8 or 9 wins. And so if Peyton Thorne doesn't achieve that, I don't think, I mean, Auburn fans will be upset, but people outside of Auburn aren't going to be like, wow, look at what happened, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that's going to happen. And so in that regard, I think Peyton Thorne has a lot of pressure. There's no doubt. And I think out of the starting quarterbacks, he's one of the ones that has yet to solidify himself in a starting role, and so I think that adds a lot of pressure to him this season.
I just can't. He's been the last year. He was the complete reason. I admit the offensive line of receivers weren't near as good as they are this year. Let's be honest. But he's got to do better than those numbers he's put on last year. Got to be better than that.
I agree with you, Terry. We'll see how it goes. Appreciate the call, man. Great to hear from you.
I agree with that as well, and I think that there would be a shorter hook. Say if Auburn's struggling against California in week two, like they were last year, moving the ball up and down the field, missing some receivers, staring down some receivers, getting picked like he did against Vanderbilt, right? Remember
throwing
that?
Bad, like
and,
bad
and that
interceptions.
Maryland pick six where he stared him down.
Yep.
Yeah, I think there'd be a pretty quick hook. I don't think that that. The coaching staff's going to stand for that very long for a sixth-year senior who's like 25 years old and should know better, especially after the investment that Auburn has made in the weapons around him.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that it wasn't all on him with those numbers last year. I mean, if Javarius Johnson doesn't let a perfectly thrown ball hit him in the face mask against Alabama, that game's over.
Well, Fairweather had one across the middle of the field that he dropped, too.
Multiple drop passes, an offensive line that was piecemealed together, teams loading the box, which they won't be able to do this year to stop the run. All of that, Hugh Freeze taking over the play calling along with the Knicks guy from University of Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to be so much more fundamentally talented and sound. And I believe that, you know, there's just going to be more time for straight up coaching. This article Hugh Freeze has a tremendous amount of optimism for Peyton Thorne. In the article that I shared earlier with you, look, I mean, he flat out says it. I'm really confident. I believe in him. I believe in his leadership. I meet with him every single week right now in the offseason. He has knowledge of the game that is good as I've been around for a quarterback. You know, I'm going to trust in Coach Freeze. I'm not going to be one of these guys that never trusted in Brian Harsin because of good reason and really had my doubts about Malzahn. I trust in Hugh Freeze. He's making the investment in this kid. He believes in him. I'm going to stand behind him too. But I promise you this, Coach Freeze ain't going to stand for a lot of that play again.
No, which is why I've said Peyton Thorne will be your starting quarterback.
I mean, who would you have yanked him last year for? Robbie Ashford?
Some people would have. I wouldn't have, but some people would, which
he
is why.
He was given his opportunity.
Exactly right, which is why I think Peyton Thorne's leash is short this year. There's no doubt about it. Jonathan, you're first up when we come back, my man. I want to give you plenty of time to talk. We're talking Auburn football, SEC Media Days, and everything in between. Give us a call, 334-321-1390.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate you all being with us, whether you're on the airwaves here in Auburn Opelika or on ESPNAU.com. Appreciate everybody being with us on this Monday afternoon. Let's get to the phone lines again. They are wide open. Phones are back and working like crazy. 334-321-1390. Jonathan, we appreciate you holding on through the break, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Hey, Jacob. Hey, Uncle T. Hey, I want some Monday afternoon optimism. May I share it? Let's go. So some Monday afternoon optimism for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, you know, I had Uncle T, you'll get this. Had local man tell me something one day. Local man said, John in Auburn, he said, always bet with a streak. He said, if you bet with a streak, you can only lose once. If you bet against the streak, you can lose a lot of times. I said, local man, that makes a lot of sense. Let me tell you about this Missouri game. No Auburn fan, I'm 40, and there are Auburn fans a lot older than me who have never said this in their life. Man, that was a big game today. Missouri got us. I'm so disappointed. Football, basketball, baseball, equestrian, we've never said it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, that's a football program especially that, you know, Auburn's just historically better than.
Absolutely.
And has only been competing like yearly.
And I'm getting them in an early kick.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's a – we will continue to go through Auburn's schedule a lot and really break it down.
For sure.
Game after the game, especially after the SEC Media Days when it's just completely on, Jonathan.
Absolutely.
But I went through it I went through a lot of it. This weekend, that is a game that Auburn can win. That is the type game that, a.k.a. the misery, can mess up. And I would like to see how we look a little bit closer to that game and how they look injury-wise. But I will say this about being better than a program historically, and Auburn's better than a lot of programs historically. But there's never been more parity now in college football. NIL, transfer portal. Missouri and Ole Miss specifically are two teams that have completely changed the dynamic of their football program with the transfer portal. Period.
Agreed.
And that is a really stout team. And if you look at the end of the season last year, they got on a hot streak and was a team that really no one wanted to play late. So you can't just waltz into any of those games anymore in today's college football world and say, you know, we've beaten Missouri 10 out of 13 times. We should steamroll them. I mean, you got to strap it up and get ready to play them. That's a good team this season.
And I feel like there's one other issue with this Auburn schedule that works to our benefit, works to Auburn's benefit, that I've not heard a lot of commentary about. I think in football, look-ahead games are deadly. Hello, New Mexico State. Look-ahead games are deadly. Oklahoma and A&M are two teams that are licking their chops to see Texas. and they're both in Jordan-Hare the game before.
Now, I like that.
There you go. Yeah, okay. I like that
a lot. Yeah. That's a good point.
10-2, book them, Dano. We're going to the playoffs.
Here we go.
Appreciate the call, John. Always great to hear from you, my man. 334-321-1390. John and Auburn loyal listener right there. Look, to bring up Missouri for a second, all right, Missouri's a good team. They're a good team.
They're a really good team.
And we're going to do quarterback rankings coming up soon. I don't know if it'll be this week or maybe the week after SEC Media Days. We're going to do our SEC quarterback rankings. And I got a lot of hate last year for showing Brady Cook a little love. Not much, but a little. And people called me out and they said I was an idiot. And they said, "How Brady Cook's terrible. Brady Cook plays a Missouri. They're going to be horrible." Well, that's a Missouri team.
Call someone an idiot's a little bit more than just a little hate.
I'm telling you. And so Brady Cook came out and lit it up, and Missouri was a good team, like you mentioned, Uncle T-Bone. Nobody wanted any piece of. Now they come in yet again. Brady Cook will be at SEC Media Days representing Missouri this season, or next week in Dallas. And Missouri has high expectations, as they should, given the team that they have and given the success they had a year ago. But historically, Auburn is a better football program. That's not an outlandish statement. That's a fact. All right?
Oh, yeah.
That's a fact. And for Auburn, I've said this and I will continue to say it, and I'll get flack for this too, and I don't care. If Auburn wants to get where they want to go, if Auburn wants this upcoming season to be a success, that Missouri game is one of the handful that's a 50-50 game this season. Oklahoma, Kentucky, Missouri, Texas A&M. Those are 50-50 games for Auburn this season, in my opinion, because Kentucky and Missouri are on the road. Oklahoma, Texas A&M are at home. But if Auburn wants to take that next step and get back to where they belong, you should win that game at Missouri. You should win it. I think you have more talent. I think you have a better coach. And I think, do you have a better team? I don't know. The most talented team doesn't always win, Uncle T. You know
Auburn
that.
Auburn has more talent than Mizzou right now?
Yes.
I don't. No way.
I think so. No. I think Missouri lost a little bit.
No, I think in a couple of years Auburn will with the trajectory of their recruiting. But
I think Auburn's defense has slept on.
I don't think people realize how bad it was the last
time. Oh, it was horrible.
I mean,
it was horrible.
It was as bad in my lifetime, that roster. I mean, a complete no-show by Harsin after basically a complete just let me get my money and get out of town and move it on along by Malzahn. Listen to this schedule, though. Missouri's schedule is so pathetic. Before Auburn comes to Como on October 19th, Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College, Vandy.
That's who they play before Auburn rolls
that's
in?
That's their first four games. Cool. At Texas A&M, all right, that might be. That's going to be tough. At Massachusetts. Come on, man.
At UMass.
And then Auburn comes to town. But, you know, Jonathan mentions a look-ahead game. And unfortunately, I hate to be like this about our program right now, but until we prove otherwise, we could be a look-ahead game for Missouri because the week after they play us at home, early in the morning, those old Jefferson Pilot early morning kickoffs with the three days and the Bloody Marys, probably a little bit before your time, but the old-timers know what I'm talking about. They go to Alabama the next week.
You know, I always say,
so let's catch them at a bad spot and let's reestablish ourselves. I'm with you, but this is a top 10 team that everybody in the country is anticipating making the college football playoffs or at least contending to. And with their schedule, Jacob, there's a realistic chance they could get to Atlanta. And at the end of last season, listen to what they did in their last four games. Tennessee, W, 36-7. Florida, W, 33-31. They got in a little dogfight with the Gators. At Arkansas, blew them out of the water 48-14, and then took down Ohio State 14-3 in the bowl game. That Ohio State team heading into this season is the most talented Ohio State team and one of the most talented across-the-board college football teams I've ever seen on paper. That's still Ohio State, and they wrecked them in that bowl game. They pushed them around. I just don't think that you can go with the old biases about teams that just aren't at the same level you are historically any longer because of the parity in college football, the NIL and the transfer portal has all of a sudden become this great equalizer.
Mm-hmm. I just feel, for Auburn's sake, just for Auburn's sake, right, we continue to talk about those 50-50 games that Hugh Freeze and the Tigers have this season. You have the first four games that you should win, that you should absolutely 100% win. You have the Oklahoma.
Auburn will be favored in all those games, including California, but which is going to be a little bit tougher game than I think people are going to give it credit for.
Well, and even so, Auburn should win it. I don't care if you win by a point. You still got to win.
No, I agree.
You have the 50-50 game of Oklahoma. You have, and look, and I've heard this begin to get a little bit louder for Auburn fans that are expecting this team to go to Athens.
Not happening.
To Athens? Come on now. Look, I love Auburn as much as anybody, but we got to be a little realistic here.
10 to 12% chance right now. What is today, July 8th?
Mm-hmm.
Golly, where's time gone this year?
I'm telling you, man.
They've got about a 10% chance of winning that game.
And I think that's fair. I think that's a fair percentage.
I'm not trying to run them down.
No.
I mean, Georgia's ridiculously good.
They're going to be competing to win it all again this year, okay? So get that out of your brain. I'm not saying it can't.
If anything can happen.
You're right. You're right.
But please stop drinking that Kool-Aid.
Thank you. Then you have the month of October, right, where you go at Georgia, at Kentucky, bye week, at Missouri. I don't remember the exact order. But
no, it's after Georgia on October 5th. There's a bye week, which I really like. And then they go to Missouri.
Which is why I think that plays to your advantage.
It does. And the circumstance of that game, like I said, being very early, them possibly looking ahead, going to Tuscaloosa, their schedule being kind of weak, Auburn will already be very battle-tested by then. And they'll have already gone on the road, too, to a hostile SEC environment. No matter what happens at Georgia, they got the week off. Just let it go. Win, lose, or draw. Hey, that's great. You know, we're not on that same level yet. If we beat them, that's wonderful. Let's settle down and get ready for Missouri. If we get blown out or get beaten a heartbreaker, just let it go and move on and focus on the Tigers. I don't think Missouri's a 50-50 game right now on paper. It could be when they get there, but definitely at Kentucky is. I think Auburn will be favored in that game. Then you get Vanderbilt in early November. Look.
And that's at home.
Look, if Auburn could upset Missouri, not fall flat on their face the next week in a letdown game at Kentucky, and they do what you think they're going to do and be 5-0 to start the season, Tigers are, you know, they're kind of getting into their fighting weight going into November.
Which is where I'm going with this is think about it in the most positive way. If Auburn does what I think they should do, what I think Auburn fans should demand that they do and start 5-0, like you said it perfectly, go to Athens 5-0. Go to Athens 5-0. It's going to be a top 25 game. You have absolutely nothing to lose.
Nothing
to lose because everybody and their mother is going to bet on Georgia to win that game. And that's fine because they probably will. And then you go into a bye week, as you said, and you wash off the Georgia game. You find out where you are, maybe even be humbled just a little bit. And then you have 2 weeks to prepare for an 11 a.m. kick where you have a chance to win a really good game. A really tough game and beat a really good team. You have 2 weeks to go in with an early kick where I always say the road team has the early advantage. You got to take advantage of it, but you can do it. And you win that game, and the sky's the limit. The sky is the limit for this Auburn team this year. And I'm overly positive about this team, and because it's the schedule that I'm looking at, and I compare it to the schedules we've had for years and years and years, okay? And look, ask anybody that does schedule rankings across college football. They still say Auburn has a top 10 toughest schedule. Some people say top 5.
No way.
Because of the road games to Bama and to Georgia.
I mean, they weigh heavy, but this anybody who knows Auburn football knows this isn't.
I agree.
One of the most manageable schedules they've had in years.
Which is why I think Auburn has a chance to do something special in year two, which would be ahead of schedule of what Hugh Freeze is trying to do here. And all this is stemming again from John and Auburn calling in. We appreciate him. And phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. The schedule works, man. And this is going to be talked about next week at SEC Media Days. People are going to ask Hugh Freeze, hey, this is a manageable schedule. How do you attack this? How do you prepare for this? Are you excited about what this schedule could allow you to do this season? And I'm curious on how he begins to answer those questions.
Well, you know, I think you'll learn a lot about Auburn midway through the Cal game, just like you did last year. Heading into last season, I mean, there was just a tremendous amount of optimism on my part I mean, we were kind of just finally that albatross of Brian Harsin. We were exercised of. Hugh Freeze came out swinging in recruiting, came out swinging in the transfer portal, and there was a lot of hype about guys coming in, and people were just happy. Okay, we're going to move in a more positive direction. I drank the orange and blue Kool-Aid, and about midway through that Cal game, the second game of the year last year, I was like, gulp. Watch out. What I want to see in that game is, yeah, I think Cal's a tough opponent to an extent because of Jay Knott, because they've got about 15 returning starters, because their head coach Justin Wilcox can flat out coach defense. And that's a team that took us to the brink last year.
And had every chance to win that game.
Had every chance to win that game, and they're not going to forget that. That being said, Auburn's going to take care of business in that game, but I want to just see them handle it right. You know what I'm saying? You know, let's get up on them. Let's pop them in the mouth. Let's not, you know, late in the second quarter before going into halftime, stare down a receiver and throw a pick six and lose all the momentum.
A fundamentally sound game.
Let's act like we know how to play Auburn football and do it.
And not play down to your opponent.
There
Something
you go.
That Auburn, in my 24 years of life, historically has done every time. They do it every time. They play down to their opponents so much, and I don't know why. And there's a lot of teams that do it. It's not just Auburn being Auburn, okay? I know the joke.
We just know how more it happens because we follow it more than the average fan out
exactly.
there. Exactly. Not an Auburn fan. But there have been plenty of times where I've seen Auburn defy expectation, and then there's Jabba, the bad side of it, the other side of the coin. And defying expectation is a Jabba trade. Auburn has gone above and beyond several times, but I've also seen them, let a Arkansas team come in here on 11 o'clock and run it down our throats mm-hmm. that they had no business doing so.
Yeah, exactly. Well, lots more to get to and lots more to cover over the next few weeks as, again, the countdown is on. We're 54 days away from the start of Auburn football, and even closer than that from college football. Of course, media days for SEC coming up next week, a couple of other media days coming up over the next few weeks for the Big Ten, the Big 12, things like that. So can't you taste it? Can't you smell it a little bit? It's in the air. It may be hot outside, but, man, we're just getting closer to the start of college football, high school football around the corner as well. So excited for that. We'll go ahead and take our final break, come back, wrap up hour number one. And a reminder, in case you missed it, we've got an announcement coming at 3 o'clock to start hour number two right here on the show. You want to be here for it. I'm just letting you know. I'm telling you, you want to be here. I don't care what you're doing. Go and sit out in your car for a few minutes and listen in. 3 o'clock right here is where you want to be, coming up in about 11 minutes. So we'll take our final break, come back, wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up the first hour here on the Monday edition of On the Line. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Been talking a lot of Auburn football, talking SEC football. As we now know, all of the player attendees that will be in Dallas, Texas next week. Excited for us to be there. As ESPN 106.7 On the Line will be there. The Drive will be there. Max Roundtable will be there. So 7 straight hours of local sports talk radio in Auburn, Opelika will be live, boots on the ground in Dallas, Texas. I don't know who else around this area is going, but I know we are. And we're going to bring you some excellent coverage next week. And so excited for that. And let me tell you what, it's going to be quarterback heavy next week in Dallas. Listen to all the quarterbacks that are going to be going, representing 16 SEC schools. Okay, not every team's taking a quarterback, but most of them are. All right, just in alphabetical order. Alabama's taking Jalen Milroe, of course. Arkansas taking Talen Green. Auburn is taking Peyton Thorne. Florida taking Graham Mertz. Georgia taking Carson Beck. And as we continue to go, LSU will take Garrett Nussmeier. Ole Miss taking Jackson Dart. Mississippi State will take Blake Shapen, who is their starting quarterback. Missouri taking Brady Cook, as we mentioned earlier. And then Luther Burden III, one of the best wide receivers in the entire country. He'll be there as well. Oklahoma taking Jackson Arnold, their starting quarterback. Tennessee is not taking one. Texas taking Quinn Ewers. Shocker, right? He will be in attendance. And looks like that's it. So all of about three or four teams will be taking their starting quarterbacks.
11 of 16 teams is what I counted as you rattled those off. The league is very talented at quarterback. Several of these players will be NFL draftees next season. The top three teams in the league, I have Texas, Alabama, and Georgia. I believe they are the top three quarterbacks in the league, but Missouri and Ole Miss have something to say about that. I am interested to see how Jackson Arnold turns out at Oklahoma. That's a team with a ridiculously difficult schedule, bringing in five new offensive linemen. They lost a lot in the portal. That is a game that I'm beginning to warm up to that Auburn can win.
What's that?
Against Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But it just goes to show how talented the quarterback room in the SEC is. Perhaps Friday we'll rank them all and have a little debate over that. I'm interested to see where you have Peyton Thorne. I'm going to guess that we probably have them a little bit higher than what I've read in like Lindy's and Athlon's. Heck, I've seen some of these magazines have him at 13 in the league.
Gosh.
He's going to have to be better than the 13th quarterback in the league this season, or Terry's going to be right. He's going to get the hook.
I mean, his leash is short. His leash is short, in my opinion.
Well, you know, I said,
but the sky's the limit.
I said jokingly, who should you'd have taken him out for Robbie Ashford last year? They did. Robbie got his shot. And, you know, Hank Brown showed out at the end of the Music City Bowl against Maryland when they were playing third stringers. But I'll say this, that quarterback room, including Hank Brown, is way better than it was last year talent-wise. And you add in Brown and Garnier, and they've got another year of experience. If they had to pull Peyton Thorne for whatever reason, poor play, injury, suspension, I don't know. I don't want to see that happen. But if they had to, I'd feel way more comfortable with one of those guys stepping up than with Robbie Ashford.
Yeah, and look, I have more thoughts on that, and we can get to that in hour two. But to start hour number two, you don't want to miss it. Don't leave. Don't you dare turn
don't
that radio
turn
dial.
That dial.
Don't do it. If you're joining us on 106.7 FM or ESPNAU.com, huge announcement coming up to start hour two at 3 o'clock. Do not go anywhere. Hour number two, Jacob Hillman will join us at 3:30. We'll talk about SEC Media Days, other things going on around Auburn Athletics. But huge announcement to start hour number two. Don't go anywhere. It's coming up.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Alongside me in the studio is Uncle T-Bone. If you missed any of hour number one, you can catch it with the podcast. We'll post that for you right after the show today. Easiest way to find it is our station website, ESPNAU.com. It'll be uploaded shortly after the show. You can find today's show, all the other shows. You can also listen live there each and every day, so be sure you check that out today at ESPNAU.com. We talked a lot of SEC Media Days in hour number one as Auburn and the SEC have announced all of the player attendees that will be going to Dallas next week, and Auburn taking quarterback Peyton Thorne, linebacker Eugene Asante, and defensive end Keldrick Falk. And so lots of thoughts on that in hour one. We'll have some more of that coming up in hour number two as well. And a reminder that hour two each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7 is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you, and you can find them on the web at theorthoclinic.com. Well, we've been hyping it up. We've been promoting it. We've been plugging it as much as we possibly can. And to start hour number two here today, I've been telling you for a little bit that we had an announcement coming. It's a good thing. It's good news, I promise. Nobody's leaving. Nobody's going anywhere. I've had to preface that, make sure. I've already got text people flipping out, making sure Uncle T-Bone's not leaving, all right? We are joined in the studio alongside me and Uncle T-Bone is Auburn Network GM Steve Witten, who you can hear on Witten Wednesday, which is a world-famous segment on Auburn Opelika this week.
World famous.
That's what they say. I mean,
on Newstalk WNI.
Yeah, they say it's world famous, and oh, yeah. I mean, it gets a lot of love. And when he's not on, there are people that riot. We do get phone calls.
Yeah, no question.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. It's been a long time since we've had you on our show, for sure.
It has been a bit since I've been on here.
Yeah,
I've been meaning to talk to you about that because the drive has had me on more recently than on the line.
Oh, Jacob, I told you,
man.
I don't know what it is you have against me, but, you know, that's fine.
I mean, the invites must have gone to your junk folder or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you guys don't embrace Clemson the way I do, and I think that's a big part of it.
I mean, somebody in this room put them, like, way far down in their top 20 rankings. I mean,
T-Bone, wasn't it like 14 or 16 or something?
I got Clemson at 14. I think it's very, very fair. Jeez. Like FSU, Clemson will be doing everything it can to leave the ACC but win it on their way out. I think they're going to have a fantastic offense with QB Cade Klubnik, who underwhelmed a little bit last year with the hype.
He did. I expected more, especially with the new OC.
The guy from TCU.
Garrett Riley.
Yeah.
Yeah. I expected more there. It didn't gel. And I'm hoping year two with Garrett Riley will be much improved. And
I think it's going to be a lot like Auburn's offense is going to improve strictly because there's so much. They got 8 returning starters coming back. And, you know, obviously they recruit well and they're going to have an infusion of talent there. I don't think the offense this season will be the Achilles heel at Clemson. It's that defense with only 2 to 3 starting returners. And they've been solid now for quite some time.
Oh, yeah. But
he refuses still, Steve.
To use the portal. I know.
Just old supplement. School, man.
And you said it while we were talking. Me. Just to supplement not just your talent but your depth.
Depth.
And I think that's where Clemson will run into trouble.
I know.
But I also foresee them slipping into the college football playoff.
Well, and here's the thing, and it's become a Clemson segment. I love it. I love this.
Some people do, some people don't, Steve.
Hey, it's college football season. We'll talk about it.
That's right. Listen, that's right.
I won't stay on the train too long. But look, they went 9-4, right? Yeah, 9-4. But remember the Duke game, first game of the year.
Oh, yeah.
They fumble it not once, not twice, but 3 times inside the 5-yard line of Duke.
I forgot about
okay?
that. Yeah.
Okay, there's that. Then, number two, they're about to go up 2 scores on FSU when Klubnik gets blindside sacked. Mm. And a guy picks up the ball and runs the other way to tie the game.
I don't know.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, stuff like that happened. My point is, they're not that far from where they were. And, if he would use the portal, it would definitely help. I mean, it made FSU what they were last year.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It was all portal.
Mike Norvell has done about as good a job as anybody not named Lane Kiffin in the portal. And he has reloaded again this season. Yeah. Going to have the former Clemson quarterback from Oregon State now leading the Noles.
DJU.
They can have him, brother.
But he showed out at Oregon State. We'll see if he's matured. I'll say this real quick, Steve. Then we'll get to our big announcements. Don't go anywhere, everybody.
Yeah.
That schedule starting out is no joke.
Going against
Georgia, going against Appy State, that's a solid team. They get an open date, then NC State's very improved. They get a break against Stanford, who will be putrid. And then at Florida State, they mess around and they've lost 2 games, maybe even an upset against Appy State.
I know.
And fans are going to – the Tylers from Spartanburgs of the world are going to come back on the radio.
and Dabo's going to lose it.
Yeah, probably so.
But after that schedule greatly improves. The second half of their season
The first half is the tough half. Yeah.
Well, we're officially on Clemson watch, I guess. We'll keep up with Clemson this year.
We'll get back in here.
Now, look, tell me that you guys aren't going to be pulling for the Clemson Tigers on August 31st.
Man.
I will.
I'll do it for
you.
For you, Steve.
You saying you like Georgia more?
No, but I'm just...
I hate Georgia.
Dabo's just... He's just kind of rubbed me the wrong way a couple of times.
We're going down a road here, fellas.
I mean, you got to remember where Dabo's from, Steve. Pelham, Alabama, which is...
I'm aware. Where
Bama people, when they die, they go to Pelham for heaven. Okay?
No, I get it. And it took me a long time to get past that.
He's a heck of a coach.
But... I once heard him speak at a men's church function in Montgomery in 2011. This was before he had won any championships. He won the ACC championship that year in 11. Yeah. But prior to that, he had not. And it was summer. And he, right after he got done talking, he had to fly back because they started fall practice the next day. Mm-hmm. But he did it because he had promised somebody that he would come and talk. He spoke for 2 hours straight with no notes at all. And you could have heard a pin drop in the room. Everybody was just glued to him the whole
time.
He's
impressive, man.
He gave his testimony. He talked about, you know, life and his faith and football.
That's awesome.
And, I mean, he talked about all kinds of things. And it was incredible. And so that night, it helped me get over the fact that he's a Bammer down deep.
Look, all right, we'll forgive it. We'll forgive it. It's fine.
Yeah. People
it's
say, fine. Oh, yeah, when he started winning. Then
well, you're also a Clemson grad for the people that are listening to you. You are a Clemson grad, so you have a reason for it. So, all right, well, we're on Clemson right. watch this year. We will. We'll keep up with the Tigers. Right,
we'll dig out of the rabbit hole that we went down. Let's climb back up.
For almost 10 minutes. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Well, for me, that's not bad.
No, it's not.
Now I see why you guys haven't had me on in a while. But we're out of the rabbit hole. Now we have big news. So you guys
that's
have been
right.
pumping this, huh?
Breaking news.
All right. Here we go. Scott Bagwell who has been the voice of the Auburn High Tigers since 2017, that'd be a long time, wouldn't it, 2017? Since 2017 in all sports, has retired as the play-by-play man. And so I needed to replace Scott. And who better to do that than Jacob Goins, the reigning sportscaster of the year in the state of Alabama,
Ayo.
Who has led Lee Scott to 2 state championships in a row in football, who better than to move him over to the Auburn High Tigers? And so Jacob will be the voice of the Auburn High Tigers starting August 22nd. Well, starting now, but his reign will begin August 22nd. When Auburn High hosts North Miami Beach. And so proud of you. Congratulations, Jacob.
Thank you.
I know we've known this. We haven't been able to announce it until now. But very proud of you. You've paid your dues. And you are ready for that. Ready for the big time 7A. And look, that's not a slight at all against Lee Scott Academy. I mean, they dominated AISA, and now they're moving to 3A, and we're excited about the opportunity that I'm able to give there by moving Christian Griffin from color analyst over to be the play-by-play voice of the Warriors, taking your spot. And so that's the other big news, the other shoe that drops from this. And so congrats to you, congrats to Christian. I think it's going to be great. You know, we met with Coach Etheridge the other day. I know he's excited, you know, to work with you. And so, let's see what happens.
Well, man, I'm very, very excited. And as you mentioned, it's something that has been known for a little bit, not very long. It's been a little bit, and man, it's an honor for me to be, because here at Auburn Network, of course, we do Auburn High and Lee Scott and have for quite some time. And Lee Scott is where I got my start in sports broadcasting. On the Line is how I got started sports talk radio. But Lee Scott has been such an honor for me. 2.5 years of doing Lee Scott, and you mentioned it, 2 back-to-back football state championships that I've been not able, not just to call the game, but to be able to call state championship wins is such an honor, and got one in basketball this year, and yep, called a couple more state championship basketball games and Final Four games and a state championship series with baseball this year and a heartbreaking loss to Glenwood. But man, just an honor. It really is an honor. And look, Lee Scott, there's so many good people, the parents and the coaches and the kids and the grandparents and everybody, because they got a good thing going over there. And the fact that they're moving up to 3A and AHSAA, they're still private school, but playing public school ball.
Right.
And it's something that needed to happen. Lee Scott's ready. They're prepared for that. And they're going to do great things. And so it is bittersweet to see, to not be able to be along with them for that jump, for that ride. But to now be the voice of Auburn High and the biggest school in the state of Alabama and a historic school in terms of football, basketball, baseball, and all the other wonderful sports that they have over there, it's an honor, man. It really, really is. The community's fantastic. The fans are great. I'm excited to get to know more of the coaches and more of the players and more of the parents, because that's what makes it so special for me, being the voice of a team. Yeah, it's great to follow them on Friday nights and on during the week, but it's everybody that's involved with it and the community like Auburn that makes it so special, man. I'm really, really excited.
Well, you know, Christian's got massive shoes to fill over there. You've been along this ride and you've helped Lee Scott get to this point, obviously, where they move into public school ball. They're very lucky to have you. I know several Lee Scott people. I know several people who listen to the show and would just listen to you call Lee Scott games. They'd text me, Steve, and be like, here he goes again, your boy, turn him on. And they'd be like, it sounds like it's game 7 of the NBA Finals. And it's a Friday night, Lee Scott playing down at Lake Point or something.
Yeah.
He does such an amazing job with the play-by-play. Christian will do a fantastic job.
Yes,
Lee
he
Scott,
will.
Folks, he's a great kid. I know him, played some golf with him. Very solid. Went to high school with his old man, and he's a solid guy.
Really?
He'll do a great job for y'all Warriors. But, Jacob, congratulations. As an Auburn High graduate myself, I am thrilled to have you as the play-by-play of the Tigers. You're going to kill it, and it's going to be awesome. And businesses, I'm telling you, this is going to be one of the most listened to guys in radio. I jump on advertising with this kid because he's going places, and Auburn High is going places. And I just can't wait for it. It's just going to be fantastic.
Well, absolutely, yeah. Now's the time. Buy your advertising during the Auburn High games.
Boom.
Yeah.
Start calling right now.
That's right.
That will fill up.
You can get in touch with Auburn Network if you're interested.
Info@aunetwork.com.
Selfless plug right there, baby.
Shoot an
That's
email,
right.
And we will get you hooked up.
Yeah, well, you mentioned it, Uncle T-Bone. Christian Griffin is going to do a fantastic job with Lee Scott. Because, look, Auburn High and Lee Scott are two of the premier schools in this area, and care about those sports. People care about high school sports. I know we talk a lot of Auburn University on these shows, but we talk high school stuff. I mean, Coach Etheridge was with me last year on this show on Thursday afternoons talking about high school football, talking about Auburn High. And
that'll continue this year.
It will, yes. We talked to him the other day. He's very excited about that, and as we are. And so, look, Christian's going to do a wonderful job with Lee Scott because he's known. He's not a new guy. He's not a new face from wherever, right? He's somebody that was with me and worked extremely hard for a year and a half, and people recognize him, they know him, and he does a wonderful job. And so,
and he knows the football, basketball, and baseball teams and coaches.
He does. He knows it all very well.
And they've got great leadership in the athletic department over at Lee Scott.
Yes.
And so they definitely have it going. And Chris, we're leaving in good hands with Christian, leaving it in good hands with him, and I want to thank them for understanding my need to move you over to Auburn High and your desire to go to Auburn High and compete as a play-by-play announcer at the 7A level, at the top level in the state.
Yeah.
And
boy, what a schedule you're launching your Auburn High career with in football. And what a schedule for the Baby Tigers.
It's no joke.
North Miami Beach. I mean, how do you get that game scheduled? I guess no one else wanted to play Auburn. You had to go to a different time zone to find an opponent. And then Vestavia Hills comes to town. Opelika Enterprise. Those first four games are brutal. Moody on there, who won a state championship a few years ago in a lower division. Central, good friends. The River Rats down in Phoenix City, Smith Station, Carver, and Dothan. I mean, that is a big boy,
big time
high school football schedule there.
And that gets underway August 22nd on a Thursday night is when North Miami Beach Thursday rolls into town. So
And when you go to Central T-Bone, you know you have to play the Red Devils and the referee.
Well, you know, the old timers that I know from Opelika out at the Elks Club would say, you know, you were 12 points down before you stepped off the bus.
That's right.
So you better win by 13 or more. Now, I don't know if that's true
or
not.
You're easily down a touchdown when you get off the bus.
I'm not saying nothing. I got nothing to say.
No, you don't. T-Bone and I can't.
It's a tough place to play, and they got a fantastic football program. Them and Auburn have been some of the power players in the state for quite some time. So, what an exciting schedule. I know I'll be tuning in.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to work alongside with Rob Pate as my color guy for football. Jack Cutton's still going to be a part of the Auburn High Sports Network as well. He does a great job, and people know who Jack Cutton is here. He joins us on the show quite a bit, and him and I are just great friends. And so really excited for those two to be along.
Very glad
too.
You mentioned that. Absolutely, yes. We still have Rob and still have Jack, thank goodness, as part of the team. And so you guys are going to make a great team, no doubt. Look forward to it.
Yeah, well, I'm just appreciative of the opportunity. I am and excited, man. High school football, there's nothing like it. I've got an award to defend now, Steve. I got to go and prove that I can do it twice in a row.
I want to see you win it 2 years in a row with two different schools.
I mean, some say it's never been done before. I don't know.
You know, we would have to go into the annals of history, maybe. Maybe T-Bone can – maybe we can figure that out. But
oh, goodness.
But I would venture to say probably not.
I have to go back to, like, the early 80s before Jim Fife took over Auburn University Broadcasting and was broadcasting high school and Little League athletics in Montgomery.
I mean, maybe so. I don't know.
That's some high cotton.
Telling you what, buddy. Well, we said it, man. It was a big announcement. I've been excited. I'm excited for Auburn High. Excited with Christian doing Lee Scott, and just can't say enough how thankful I am to you, Steve, and to Lee Perryman, Auburn Network, Radio Alabama. It's a huge opportunity, man. And look, I'm going to miss Lee Scott. I am. And I will never, ever, ever, ever forget where I started, because that's where I started. And I hope to look back 30 years from now and always remember my times there. But it's a new time, new era. Excited to start with Auburn High coming up August 22nd.
Go Tigers.
That's right. Go Tigers. Always go Warriors, though. So that's it, folks. That was a big Warriors. That's right. Of course. Always. Always. Well, again, huge announcement from us. Excited. I told you it was good news. I told you nobody was leaving. Nobody was going anywhere. But excited for all of our high school covers to get going. Auburn High and Lee Scott getting going next month. We're like 5 or 6 weeks away. I can't count the days or the weeks, but I mean, we're it's next month. High school football starts next month, ladies and gentlemen. So, of course, you can always listen to Auburn High football on Wings 94.3 on Friday nights. All the other sports, girls and boys basketball, baseball, and softball will be on 96.3 W. Lee. Lee Scott Academy football, AU100, girls and boys basketball, and baseball are on Tiger Country 104.5. So, that's call coming up next month. And, yeah, just excited for a new era and what's going to be happening in our high school sports coverage. We'll take our first break here. In hour number one, we'll come back, talk some more football, because Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us coming up shortly. We'll have all that coming up for you next here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at espnau.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
We continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Got just a few minutes before Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network is joining us. He's always with us Mondays at 3:30, so got just a few more minutes there. No, excited to and was happy to have our general manager, Steve Witten, join us in the studio. And again, we told you it was a big announcement, and it is, man. It means a lot to me. It really does. And excited to become the voice of Auburn High and hopefully do it for quite some time and just see where it goes, man. See what happens. Auburn High football's no joke, man. 7A football, and you read off the schedule, man. It's not going to be easy this year, but they got a lot of talent, believe me.
I mean, the first three games at home, North Miami Beach, Vestavia, and Opelika, I mean, that's about as solid as you can get. And then you got to go the next week after Opelika to Enterprise, who – I mean, you know, there's several big-time college prospects and commitments on that team. Heck, they came up last year and upset Auburn. I was at that game.
Yeah.
Knocked their quarterback out. That's a physical defense and a tough place to play down in the Wiregrass. You get a little bit of a break with one of the Montgomery schools, Moody, and then you go to Central. Got to strap it up, play-by-play guy.
Hey, I mean, first year on the job going to Central. I mean, that's no joke, man. It's no joke for sure. But again, just over the top excited and just so honored. And look, I'm just so excited. I mean, the words are hard to come by at times because it's hard to believe and excited to see where Lee Scott goes as well. I can't stress enough how much I'm going to miss it. I am. I'm going to miss Lee Scott. That's a great place to be. And then again, Christian's going to do a wonderful job and excited for the future of that. And as we mentioned, Hillman's joining us coming up in just a couple of minutes. We're going to talk to him about SEC Media Days coming up next week. Going to talk to him about the players that are going to SEC Media Days next week, which are, in case you missed this, Auburn is going to be taking Peyton Thorne, the quarterback, Peyton Thorne, which has been a little bit of a controversial topic going into it. I don't think anybody's questioning why he's taking him, but it was a question of whether Hugh Freeze would take Peyton Thorne or not. Also, taking linebacker Eugene Asante, and also taking defensive end Keldrick Falk, a young man that you are very, very impressed with, Uncle T-Bone, and excited for in his sophomore campaign.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, a full year in the system, a full spring in the system. There's no telling what he's been doing in the weight room. Yeah, this guy's going to be an animal this year. Going and beginning a lot of the research for the season, looking through the Athlons, the Lindys, the Onlines, just really trying to get a feel of what I think could happen in 2024. It's awfully depressing, Jacob, to see in several of the preseason All-American teams that there's not even a whiff of an Auburn player on there. And that's something that's going to have to change with the program, and I think that we're trending towards that. But, you know, it's also a little bit eye-opening to see that there's not quite as many Alabama people on those lists either. They've had a lot of turnover with Nick Saban leaving. Do you believe, let me throw this out at you, is Texas and Oklahoma coming into the league, or Nick Saban leaving at Alabama, the biggest story next week at SEC Media Days?
For SEC Media Days in particular, it's Nick Saban not being there.
I agree with you.
It's for somebody. Look, I have not been many times. I've only been twice. I mean, that's a great question for a Doug Amos, who's been there dozens of times, right? But for the years that I went as a fan, and then these last couple of years that I've been going as media now and representing ESPN, yeah, it's absolutely Nick Saban not being there because the vibe of Alabama Day, I don't think that carries as much weight anymore.
I'm telling you, the closer we get to the season, the more and more the realities setting in that he's not going to be on those sidelines this fall. And
he's not calling the shots.
And that's going to, well, I don't know about that, but he's not going to be on those sidelines anymore. And that's going to be weird for me.
It's going to be weird for a lot of people. A lot of people. So, yeah, tons more to get to on that. SEC Media Days and much more. Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network joins us after this.
On the line.
Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. He is Uncle T-Bone. And as always, on Mondays at 3:30, we're joined on the phone lines by Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. Hillman, how are you on this Monday? I hope you had a fantastic 4th of July weekend.
I'm doing well. I did. I hope you guys did as well. Got out, got some sun, enjoyed Independence Day and everything that came with it, all the festivities.
Well, good. I'm sure you were out on the golf course at least 5 or 6 times. I mean, it seems like you play about 3 times a day nowadays.
Yeah, that's the goal at least. if I can get 18 holes in per day, then we're rocking and rolling.
Well, golf is actually where I want to start today, and it's not really Auburn University golf, but you're a golf guy, and I know you watch golf and the John Deere Classic from over the weekend, because a local guy just won a big golf tournament. Davis Thompson, who won this weekend, broke the tournament record at 28 under par. Jacob Hillman, I know that's about what you shoot on average, but 28 under par, and what's really cool about this as he played a little high school ball at Lee Scott Academy. What a cool story this was over the weekend.
Yeah, it really is. Just a local kid just going out and dominating on a PGA Tour event. And like you said, breaking the tournament record for cumulative score and everything like that. Obviously, Lee Scott Academy holds a place in our hearts, Jacob. We've called this basketball game.
Yeah.
Davis Thompson was on that basketball team and everything about that. We won't talk about where he went to college, but it's really cool for a kid from this area to do that.
Yeah, it is, and it was cool to get to see that and watch that, and I hope it, and we all hope that he continues those winning ways and can try to continue to be one of the young dominant players in the sport of golf. And so as we get into the Auburn side of things, we've got SEC Media Days coming up next week, and of course that's the unofficial start or the unofficial kickoff to the college football season, this one being for 2024, and there's a lot of buzz around what's going to be happening in Dallas, Texas next week. We'll start outside of Auburn and then get back to Auburn. Anything in particular that you'll be trying to pay attention to, whether it be coaches or players or maybe even Greg Sankey, about what they're going to be saying at SEC Media Days next week?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think there's so much that, obviously, we know how much the college football landscape has changed just this year and over the past several years. Texas, Oklahoma joining the SEC. Obviously, Nick Saban's retired. Alabama has a new head coach for the first time since 2007. It's a 12-team college football playoff. New media rights. There's so much to cover that I really can't pick one. I do think it's very interesting with Texas and Oklahoma joining and how they're going to put their best foot forward with Steve Sarkisian and Brent Venables. I'm interested to see what they have to say if they try to spark some kind of controversy or say something crazy or whatnot. But I do really think that there's going to be plenty to talk about, especially for the commissioner. And with you still never know what's going to happen moving forward in today's day and age.
Jacob, this schedule that the Tigers have this season we've been discussing coming up is one of the more manageable schedules, quite frankly, in my lifetime. What's it going to be like if the Tigers head to that school, across the Chattahoochee 5-0 midway through the season against Georgia and looking to make a statement over there? What's the atmosphere going to be like for that game? And, what do you anticipate happening with this schedule? Because we both agree now that Auburn has a very strong possibility of beginning 5-0.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think it's really interesting the way these games kind of get bunched together. Obviously, Georgia the week before hosting Auburn is going to Tuscaloosa to play Alabama. And I think that's a huge deal. I really think that those first four games really set Auburn up. Obviously, it kind of gets tougher as the schedule goes on. And I think that's a good way for this team to build confidence and get its feet wet under Coach Hugh Freeze in his second season. And I just think that, like you said, it's a more favorable schedule. It still might be the fifth toughest schedule in the SEC, but again, that's better than the toughest schedule in the SEC, which it feels like Auburn has had every single year the last decade at least. And I just think that, you know, if you get the ball rolling, you never know what can happen. And I think October is definitely the key for this team to really go somewhere. Obviously, those first five home games, you definitely expect to win four of them, and you'd like to win five. But it's that October stretch where you're going to Georgia and you're going to Missouri, two of the teams that are projected to be the best in the SEC. And then obviously you round it out with Kentucky, where if you go to Georgia and you do something special, and I would say even if you don't necessarily win the game, you're looking at that game as one that Auburn hasn't really been close the last several tries. Auburn obviously hasn't won in Athens since 2005, but I mean, there's only been a few of those games where it's been close. 2016 is the one that comes to mind. So I think really that's all about just being competitive in that game and keeping it close. And obviously, if you're 5-0, then you want to win that game.
Yeah, and something we had talked about a little bit earlier, and all this got sparked by one of our listeners calling in and bringing up the Missouri game in particular. But yeah, if you're 5-0 because you beat, you know, your first couple cupcakes, you beat Cal, you beat Arkansas, and then if you're able to beat a really good Oklahoma team in that big game inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium, you go to Athens with almost the mindset of you have nothing to lose, because if you win, yeah, it's going to be awesome. You're 6-0, and then you really start to have some serious fun conversations. But if you do lose, then you're not expected to win anyway, and then you have a bye week before you go to a Missouri team that Auburn is trying to beat. So that's sort of what we were saying earlier, was that Georgia game has potential to be interesting if Auburn is 5-0.
And I do think the schedule shakes out pretty well. I what I really like, kind of crazy talking about the new media rights deal, we now know what time that Missouri game's going to be. It's an 11 a.m. kick. I think that's very much in Auburn's favor, having that early kickoff against it. I'm not saying that Missouri has the toughest environment in the SEC anyway, but because of the expectations that team has in the season they're coming off of, they're going to be fired up for each and every game. And having that as an early morning game, I think, helps Auburn a little bit. And coming off the bye week, obviously. So, yeah, I just think that things set up nicely for Auburn. It's all about going out and executing and doing your thing. And I think that this roster is starting to set up the way that you'd like.
You know, Jacob, there's going to be a lot of new faces in the program, on the roster this season. That's probably going to be a recurring theme for Auburn for a few years while the rebuild continues under Hugh Freeze. And really for most programs with the advent of the transfer portal and the NIL, is everyone, like, here now? I mean, ready to rock and roll? When does summer practice begin? Are the players here working out? Are they worried about anybody not getting in? Remember the good old days where there was always one late qualifier? What's going on with the roster right now?
Yeah, there's nothing really that I know of as far as a specific player or anything. I think everyone's good to go and ready to show up. And I like you said, I think there's several guys already on campus doing work and getting their feet wet and whatnot, especially some of those freshmen that might not have been here in the spring. Just so they can get familiarized with campus and ready to go, probably doing Camp War Eagle and things like that. So, yeah, I think that they're ready to go for spring practice. I'm not exactly sure the date yet on when that starts, but, I mean, it's right there upon us. Obviously, they got to get through SEC Media Days, and then I think it's time to rock and roll.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joining us on the phone lines here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. SEC Media Days, to loop back to that, Auburn and the SEC announced earlier today, pretty much as we were going on the air, that Auburn is going to be taking three players, as they usually do. They're going to be taking the linebacker, Eugene Asante. They'll be taking, from the defensive end position, they'll be taking Keldrick Falk and the what we assume is going to be the starting quarterback, Peyton Thorne, to SEC Media Days next week in Dallas. Your thoughts on those three players in particular being chosen to represent Auburn next week in Dallas?
Yeah, I think two of those you could have chalked up pretty easily right when the season ended last year, obviously, Peyton Thorne and Eugene Asante. But I think Keldrick Falk is a very interesting pick to choose to go and speak to the media. I think that his character, I think that shows that his game has improved, but we know about his character and that he's been just ready to work and get prepared to be one of those guys on the defensive side, because we know what that edge position and just that entire defensive line means to a football team. And Auburn's obviously been trying to build that back up, like the offensive line, over the last few years. And I think that he's kind of that key right there to open it up on the defensive side. And he was obviously one of the biggest commits that Auburn was able to grab last year on National Signing Day. And I think that's why Auburn was wanting to bring him, and why Coach Hugh Freeze wants him to represent the program, because he's kind of one of those guys that you look at as the turning point for this Auburn football program, and he's ready to go out and represent the Tigers.
There's always the conversation and the questions going into SEC Media Days, Jacob, about who's going to win SEC Media Days and who's going to lose SEC Media Days, right? And I'm one that believes it's really hard to actually win it, right? Because you got to say something so crazy and so big that everybody's like, wow, that was amazing. That doesn't really happen, right? Because everybody's almost just out to get you if you're a head coach, and even Greg Sankey too. And so what can Auburn do, or any of these other teams do, to not lose SEC Media Days next week in Dallas?
Yeah, I still think it's all about managing expectations and things like that. Because, yeah, it's an exciting time to be an Auburn football fan. There's plenty to be excited about, and everything is looking up at this point. It's time to be optimistic. But, again, it's still worth being patient, knowing that this year might not be the year that you go and win the SEC championship or you make the playoffs. Now, do you want to be on the outside looking in and at least making that far? That's an ideal goal to have, where you're right there in it when you get into November. And I think that's what it's going to be all about. It's Coach Freeze and these players managing expectations and kind of giving a real-life look at, you know, where they're at and how they're getting along with a lot of these new teammates. As Uncle Tebow mentioned, there's plenty of fresh faces, and it's all about learning those guys and how they're going to contribute in the 2024 season.
Well, excited for SEC Media Days next week. ESPN 106.7. All three of our local shows will be there live in Dallas, Texas. The Max Roundtable, awesome. On the Line and the Drive. So, yep, very excited for that. And you and I will talk offline about what we need to do for next week. But one more thing before we let you get out of here. Auburn put out a video today, a very cool edited video, some drone flight over Plainsman Park with some of those renovations that they're going on, or they have going on over there. Not quite done yet, but, man, it's going to be awesome when they get all that stuff done over there at the home of Auburn baseball.
Yeah, it's looking special. I was in Birmingham since last Wednesday for July 4th, so they have actually made plenty of progress since I left the loveliest village and returned last night. So, no, you're exactly right. I really think that when everyone gets into town for kickoff on the Plain Dogs 31st against Alabama A&M, they're going to see something that it truly is just something that you'd never really expected 5 to 10 years ago with Plainsman Park. But as Coach Thompson has built this program up, it's become much more necessary for this fan base, the Auburn family, as they continue to stay involved and engage in this program.
It's down that first base line. It's filling a big space that I just didn't know needed to be filled, but now that it's kind of there and now that the structure itself is there, they're going to start putting the details in it. I think it's going to be cool.
And I'll tell you what, that's what you see from the outside. That's what everyone can see. There's still so much more that is being built. You've had the Hall of Fame Club last year that is obviously complete and finalized. You're going to have the new home plate club, which is going to replace the old press box. And then you're going to have the War Eagle wall. You're going to have the expanded student section. It's going to be awesome out in right center field. So there's so much that is going to go into that Plainsman Park renovation, including new player locker rooms and stuff for the student athlete as well as the coaches. So it's more than just what you see on that first baseline, and we're so excited to see it complete and finalized by February 2025.
Well, you mentioned kickoff on the Plains. It'll be here before we know it, 54 days away. That's the official countdown, my man, 54 days until that. So for everything going on at the Auburn Sports Network, tell people where they can find you guys and what they need to know between now and then.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Jacob Hillman AU, and follow the Auburn Sports Network at AU Sports Network. Voice of the Tigers, Andy Bergstrom, has great interviews with brand new softball coaches, as well as a new women's tennis coach coming out for the Talking Tigers podcast. So those are great to listen to get familiarized with the Malvos as well as Jordan Sabo. So tune in there for that content.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you as always, your friendship and your time, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Talk to you guys then. War Eagle.
That's Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. Again, he's with us every Monday at 3:30. Always enjoy talking to him. With Media Days next week, probably take a break, take a week off from him. Like I said, I'll talk to him offline just because there's so much going on at Media Days, man. We have so many interviews and guests and everything. I'm excited to share that entire lineup with everybody. Still actually working on all of that, but appreciate you all being here and tuning in. So, Hillman, always grateful to talk to him. He's a good time each and every Monday. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Man, it's been a great show. Been a lot of fun as always. It's just nice to be back in the studio. It's a normal week, all right? Everything on everything is a go for this week in terms of all of our local shows, the Max Roundtable, On the Line, and The Drive, as far as I know. And so excited for that. And again, just previewing SEC Media Days because it's coming up next week, and we will be making the long drive out to Dallas, Texas, man. Not super thrilled about the drive, but the trip is going to be good. It's worth it. Media Days is a lot of fun, and man, we're just ready to bring you guys the best content that there is in terms of all the coaches and players and media members. I mean, and my other, you know, all of our radio buddies, like it's going to be a lot of fun. So really pumped up for that. And so talked a lot about that today. Talked about the players that Auburn is going to be taking with Hugh Freeze to Dallas next week. Auburn Day is on Thursday, so keep that in mind. Auburn will not go until Thursday at SEC Media Days. And so I had a lot of conversations about that. Good scheduling talk today as well. And then if you missed our big announcement, I guess my big announcement and Auburn Network's big announcement, I have moved over to become the new voice of Auburn High, and really, really, really blessed and honored to be that. And Christian Griffin, who's been my color commentator for Lee Scott, is going to be the new voice of the Lee Scott Warriors. And so I've gotten dozens of texts and things already. And so just very, very honored for that and appreciative of everybody that tunes into this show every day, to all of our high school broadcasts, whether that's been Auburn High in the past or Lee Scott in the past, or those of you that are going to tune in the future, man, it really is an honor, and I can't wait. I can't wait to get started.
So. Yeah, you're going to kill it, man. It's going to be awesome. So congratulations, Jacob Goins, the official voice of Auburn High Athletics. I love it, and I can't wait to listen to you, my man. Real quick about this media day schedule. Listen to this first day. Brian Kelly, Lane Kiffin, Shane Beamer, Clark Leah. Why not have Lane Kiffin go first and just light a bomb? I mean, really, wouldn't you just have him go first every year now?
I mean, you probably could. Yeah, you probably could. And what's funny is now, or I guess not funny, but what's interesting now is with SEC Media Days, because back then it was 14 teams, and so it was – on Monday, it was three teams. Tuesday, Wednesday was four teams. Thursday was three teams. Well, guess what? Now there's 16, and 16 divided by 4. I'm not good at math, but that's 4 teams a day. So now each and every day is going to be loaded up with 4 coaches and all their sets of players.
Wednesday will be must listen or must tune in day at SEC Media Days. Kalen DeBoer going to lead it all off on Wednesday morning, it looks like.
They always do. Bama does,
yeah. And replacing the GOAT, so that'll be wild. And right behind him will be Billy Napier. I mean, they're going to be throwing Molotov cocktails at him, man.
They're gonna light him up, man. And I hope he's ready. He sounds really good on the podium. He does. And he walks around with a good charisma. But, man, he's going to be taking some shots on Wednesday morning. I can promise you that.
Yeah, no question about it. And then end up with Steve Sarkisian on Wednesday afternoon. Thursday is when Hugh Freeze and Auburn will be going. Sam Pittman will kick it off. That's going to be another must listen to. You know, but he's so down to earth, it's hard just to throw rocks at him. Although definitely on the hot seat at Arkansas. And I'd forgot, we talked about this not long ago before the fourth, that Bobby Petrino, now the offensive coordinator back at Arkansas like he was at A&M. And I said it last year going into that seat into 2023. I'll say it this year heading into 2024. Has Arkansas, like Texas A&M, perhaps hired an intern coach in waiting?
I don't know.
If he goes up there and Pittman gets canned from there, can we just start calling Bobby Petrino the Black Widow?
He's got a track record with him, doesn't he?
I mean, goodness gracious. But Hugh Freeze will go off second. Mark Stoops,
third, and then Texas A&M, the new head coach, Mike Elko. Speaking of the Aggies,
Auburn highlights Thursday, wrap it up. Big time, I think. I mean, Hugh Freeze in second year at Auburn.
I mean, Mark Stoops will be meh. I mean, A&M,
he just doesn't get the media coverage, man. And I think that's,
I don't think he wants it either.
No, he doesn't.
And Pittman will be good for a couple of laughs and self-deprecation. But, yeah, I mean, A&M, the new story, the new kid on the block. But, you know, hopefully Auburn will get a lot of love on Thursday. But that will remain to be seen.
Yeah, well, lots more to get to with that all week long here until SEC Media Days next week. But we are out of time. Thank you all again so much for listening each and every day. And your support, man, your support is felt and heard across the state, across the town, wherever you're at. Doesn't matter, man. I appreciate you so much. And excited for what's to come in terms of, for me, and this wonderful show, our wonderful high school networks as well. I'm back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.